Well, we'll see you later, kiddos. Have a good class. And good morning, church family. Happy New Year. If you weren't here last year, or no, you were here last year. If you weren't here last week, and it's good to see you. Good to hang out together. So this, typically, one of the first or second services of the year, we do something very similar, where we have a moment to kind of pause and to look ahead at what God has for us for this year as a church family, sort of the vision and the mission that He has placed on us as a church family here at Hope Valley. And we do it very similarly every single year. And you might wonder, okay, so why do we have to do this every single year? Why do we come back to this point every year? And why do we, you know, recommit together? Why do we, you know, recast vision and mission? And there's a couple reasons for that, and I'll share them with you. First is that vision is similar to like fuel in a vehicle. So you fill up your car and you roll and you go for a while, but eventually that starts to run out. And what do you have to do? You have to go back to the gas station. You got to refuel your car so that you can get rolling again. That's sort of how we are with vision, whether it's for your personal life or whether it's for our spiritual life or whether it's for our church family. And so we kind of have to pause, kind of fuel up again, understand where we're headed, what we're doing, the mission that God has for us, so that we can run with endurance the race that God set before us. And so that's part of it. Another reason is that we sort of recast our mission as well, because it's easy to get distracted from the mission, right? It's easy for us to get caught up in lots of good things and kind of lose sight of the mission that God has for us as families, for us as individuals, and for us as a church. So this morning, what we're going to be doing is just that. We're going to press pause, and we're going to say, okay, what is it that God is calling us to? Who are we called to be? What does that look like? And maybe more specifically, what does that look like in the context of the local church, and then more specifically here at Hope Valley? So when I was younger, if you know me at all, you know that I can get distracted pretty easily. And so when I was younger growing up, I have had such a hard time focusing, paying attention. I was so easily distracted. And so when it came to school, that was difficult. And so my first several years, I was in public school for elementary school, and it just was not working out very well. In fact, so much so that like I failed first grade. It takes a special kind of person to fail first grade, just so you know. So I had to repeat first grade because I had such a hard time focusing, paying attention, getting so distracted. So eventually my mom and dad homeschooled me. I wish I could say that made it all better, but it didn't. My poor mom, who's here this morning, she needs a round of applause, because it was hard for her. So she homeschooled us, and she tried, bless her heart, different things to try to help me to focus. Try to help me to concentrate on what truly mattered. And so she would find me just random parts of the day, just like gazing off into nowhere land, and I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. So she'd, hey, Jared, you gotta focus. Oh, sorry, Mom. Okay, so I'd get back at it. Eventually, it got so bad that I guess because I was looking all over the place, she actually got a refrigerator box and nailed it to my desk so that I couldn't see anything. It was like over me, like around me, the funny thing is that I ended up using that refrigerator box as like, a canvas to draw and paint and do. So it still actually didn't serve the purpose I think that she wanted it to. I remember one specific day where my brothers, they used to pick on me because they knew that I couldn't pay attention and I had, it was such a hard time. And so I remember one day, my older brother, dressed up as like an old, crippled, homeless man and started walking through our backyard. Because he knew I'd be looking out the window. And so, I'm sitting there not doing my schoolwork, looking out the window, and I see this old man walking, like, past. I'm like, Mom! There's this, I didn't know what he was. I think he might have even pretend to be blind, and he was like, had his little stick. And so, I went and got Mom, and of course, I found out that it was just my brother playing a prank on just me, because I was the only one that was going to be looking outside. Here's my point. My point is that... oftentimes in our own lives, not just in school, we can lose track, we can lose focus, we can get distracted, on what really, truly, ultimately matters in life. And it also can happen to churches as well. It can happen where we get involved in lots of good things, and sometimes you can actually start missing the best thing, the greater thing. And so we're going to look about what that looks like here in just a few minutes. As we get started, just to kind of recast what the vision of Hope Valley is, if you haven't seen it before, the vision that God has placed in our heart, the burden He's placed in our heart, is to see our valley changed. It's ultimately to reach our valley with the hope that's only found in Jesus. And so we say it again and again and again. We want to reach our valley. We're not trying to build a big church. We're trying to reach a valley. We're trying to reach a valley, make a difference with the gospel, with the hope that's only found in Jesus. And then our mission as a church is to see every single person changed by the gospel, to see them trained in the gospel, and then ultimately to be sent out with the gospel. Like, that's who we are as a church. It's super simple. We want to be super clear about that. And then we want everything else of our church to kind of point towards that and work towards that end. And what we refer to that here at Hope Valley is this covenant membership or covenant partnership. I'll explain why we use those terms in just a second too. But what I want to answer is two questions. One, what is that partnership? Like, what is partnership? And then two, what are we partnering together for? Like, what are we seeking to accomplish? If you wanted to define the local church, which there's many definitions for it, here's one of them. The local church is a group of Jesus followers who gather together, commit to one another, and partner together for the mission of God. So now, that encompasses a lot that happens in the life of a church, but just as simple as we can kind of break it down, that's what the church is. And so the church, when you look at the scriptures, is this body that gathers together, commits to one another, partners for the mission of God. And it's this idea that we are members together. Now, at Hope Valley, we often use the word membership, partnership interchangeably because, for a specific reason. In our context, sometimes membership carries with it like membership at a gym. Like, we're the new year. Anybody join a gym this year? Anybody start joining? Wow, nobody. Wow. Okay, next week we're going to talk about habits, commitments. I'm just kidding. Work out at home. Is anybody start working out this year? There we go. All right. Thank you. All right. Yeah, wow, awesome. Okay, so one of the problems with our understanding of membership is that it's like a club. Like, all right, so if you join a gym, typically you're going to ask, all right, what do you got to offer me, right? What amenities do you have? Do you have a hot tub? Do you have a spa? Do you have this? Like, what equipment do you have? What kind of weights do you have? And so we look at it that with that lens. And so we want to be careful that we don't look at the church with that same lens. Does that make sense? And so that's why we often refer to it as a partnership. One other problem with the club mindset is that clubs are exclusive, right? They're exclusive to, this is our little group and nobody else is welcome in here. That's the opposite of a gospel community. A gospel community is open and in reaching out to those that are lost. In fact, if we have an exclusive club, there's no way that we can fulfill our vision to reach the valley with the hope that's found in Jesus, right? There's no way that we can do both of those things. And so we're not exclusive. We are open, which means, church, Hope Valley, that we have to be open ourselves up to being a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. That means that everybody's welcome in this room, no matter what they look like, what they smell like, what they act like, what they drive, where they live. Like, none of that stuff matters. You're welcome here. Now, then when you're here, our hope and our prayer is that every single person would be changed by the gospel. And so the Lord accepts us where we are, and then He makes us into who He desires us to be, right? And so that's what we want to be, the heartbeat at Hope Valley. And so we have to be willing to be a little bit uncomfortable sometimes, right? Sometimes our hope communities aren't, let them open up because things get a little bit messy sometimes. Maybe a gathering like this, somebody walks in and they look a little bit different, or they're not acting like we think that they should act in church. That's okay. We want them here. because that's what we are as a gospel community. So when we look at, you know, membership, or we call it partnership, the important thing to understand is that you're not joining an organization, right? You're partnering with a believers on a mission, and that's what we are here at Hope Valley. So, well, why is it important? Why couldn't you just jump, you know, go from place to place and church to church, one church one week, one church another week? Several reasons for that, and that is, and I'm just going to roll through these not too fast, but I don't want to spend a ton of time on them either, because we've got some other places to go. But covenant membership or partnership provides a commitment. Have you ever seen when on the news where somebody is like a child's been lost, or and so you have these search parties that go out and look for them, and they link their arms together? Have you ever seen that picture where they're combing through a field or whatever, they got their arms linked together, and it's a picture of, hey, we're together in this and we're on a mission together. It's this commitment that says, I'm not going anywhere. Like, I'm not going to be here one week and I'm going to be gone the next. Like, we're in this thing together. And so you get this true commitment with one another. But you also get community with that as well. It's this helping one another follow Jesus. So the Christian life is not just about me. It's about me and my brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're helping one another, so we have community together. I can't tell you how sad it is when a believer isolates themselves and they never have the community of faith around them. But when you do have that, that's where life change begins to happen. It's where connection happens. You can't be all that God designed for you to be by yourself. He designed for us to live, grow, and serve in community. The third thing we get is we get care. It's caring for one another and being cared for. It's using the gifts that God's given you and me for the sake of somebody else. And so building one another up. And so we need to think right now, okay, Lord, as a believer, you've given me gifts. Like right now, you can think about it in your own heart. Lord, you've given me gifts. How is it that you want me to use those gifts for the good, for your glory, and for the good of others around me? How can I use those gifts? And so we get to care for one another. It's also how pastors know who's entrusted under our care. So when 1 Peter 5 says, pastors, shepherds, you know, care for the flock that God's given you that's under your care. Well, we got to know who's under our care, and part of that is church membership, partnership. And then you get accountability as well. It's that there's others that care enough about my soul to call me when I'm sinning, to encourage me when they see that something's not quite right. It's this idea that we are around one another, looking out for one another. It's that when I don't show up, you notice that I'm not here. And we have this accountability together, and that they care enough about me to pursue after my heart. So that's just now there's so many more things that we could put together as what it means to be a family of God. And I love the church family that God has put together here. Like, we're now in our fourth year, I guess, at Hope Valley, which is hard to believe and imagine. But I'm so thankful for all that God has given us here. And I can look around and see stories and testimonies, and it's just so sweet and special. And so if you're not yet connected with a local church, like it's okay to look around and find where God wants you, but at some point you need to go all in. And if it's not here at Hope Valley, then it's somewhere else. But you got to find where that is, and you got to invest, and you got to join, and you got to be a part of that church family. So that's what partnership is. What are we partnering together for? Because that's also important, right? What are we partnering together for? If you got your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. So the letter of Philippians is one of the, what are sometimes called the prison epistles. It's a letter that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi while he himself was in prison. Most likely he was in prison in Rome, and he's writing to one of the churches that he helped plant. So if you know much about the Apostle Paul, he was a traveling church planter. And so he took the gospel all over the known world at that time, and he preached the gospel, and they started new churches and discipled people. It was just this this groundbreaking church planting effort in the first century. Now, the church at Philippi, you actually find, if you look in, we're not going to look there now, but Acts chapter 16, in Paul's second missionary journey, is where you see this happen. It's where you see the church at Philippi is birthed. And so ultimately, in the city of Philippi, which I got to go there once, and it was pretty cool to see some of the places that where Paul would have preached and where some of the houses where some of the churches would have gathered. And so you would have, you wouldn't have had like a mega church like, you know, hey, this big Colosseum with a bunch of people gathering together. It was most likely these smaller church, like house churches, that ultimately had the identity of the church in Philippi. And there was elders and deacons and stuff that were among and overseeing these churches. Well, Paul, in prison, is writing a letter to that church in Philippi. And so he says in verse 1, just follow along. I'm going to read probably the first 11 verses. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love might abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So Paul writes this letter, and as he often does, he starts with an introduction, and he's greeting them, and but he has a specific purpose, specifically for the church at Philippi. There's a couple things that he's doing here in these few verses. The first thing he's doing is he's thanking them. He's thanking them specifically for their partnership in the gospel. So what that probably looked like, and this, you can read that throughout the rest of the letter too, is that they partnered in several ways. They partnered financially for Paul. They partnered with encouragement. They partnered by sending church members away with him on his missionary journeys. Like, they did lots to support the mission of God throughout the world and throughout the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And so he's saying, thank you for partnering with me in the gospel. Meaning, this is not a one-man show. It's not, hey, there's this guy that's going all over the world and doing his thing. It's, no, we're in this together. We're partnering together for something. And we're partnering together specifically for the mission of God. And so he's thanking them for that. So what he's saying is that this church at Philippi had an identity. And their identity was that they were gathered together, partnered together for something bigger than just themselves. And that was the mission of God. And specifically, their partnership in the gospel. So the first thing he's doing is he's thanking them for their partnership. The second thing he's going to do is he wants to remind them of something important, and that's in verse 6. He says, and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He wants to remind them, listen, church, listen, that the good work that God started in you, like, it wasn't originated by you, it wasn't your idea, it was something that God has started in you, and it's something that God is going to finish. So he wants them to know that God is doing work in them and through them. So day by day, he's working in them to make them more like Christ. It's this idea that God is the sanctification that we've talked about, you know, often before, is that God's making us and conforming us more and more into his image. So that's God working in us. But then God is also working through us, and that's what we would just call ministry, right? So it's dangerous to say, hey, the person who stands up here is the minister, because the reality is that we're all ministers. We're all ministers of the gospel. So every single person at Hope Valley Church is a minister, and we just minister in different ways. That's our identity. We're ministers of the gospel. And so Paul is saying, but don't forget that it's Christ who's doing that work. It's not your effort. It's not your charisma. It's not your, you know, popularity. It's not. It's that God is doing these things in you. So he wants to remind them. He wants to bring those things to mind, that God is doing this in you, ultimately for his glory. And then the third thing he wants to do is he wants to charge or encourage them with something, and that's in verses 9 and 10. Look at 9 and 10. He says, "And it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may be able to approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God." So the first thing he wants them to charge them is that he desires for them to be a church that's marked by love, right? Love for God, love for one another, and then love for neighbors. And so they wanted to be, they already were categorized as a loving church, but he wanted them even more, that the love to be, continue to abound more and more to those that are around them. He wanted them to be growing in knowledge and obedience to Jesus. And so when he says, I want you to grow in knowledge and all discernment, and then later it says to be pure and blameless, it's this idea of never, not attaining perfection, but striving to be more like Jesus. And so you have a church that is growing in knowledge. And so one thing that we worded in our mission, or our, yeah, in our purpose and mission, is that we want to be changed by the gospel daily. Like, it's not a once upon a time thing. Hey, I'm saved and now I'm good to go. And no, it's this process that God, I have been changed by the gospel, and I am continually being changed by the gospel. So none of us ever arrive. Like, until one day, when we're in heaven with Jesus and all of that, like, that's one day that's coming, but it's not yet. And so right now, we're here, and we have this daily process of growing to become more like Jesus, growing in knowledge of him and obedience to him. But this is interesting. Then he says, so that you might approve what is excellent. Now, I have to be honest. I wanted to understand exactly what he was saying, so I had to do some extra study here, because at surface, I didn't fully understand what he was saying. And the first thing he says is that you may approve. In classical Greek, the word approve meant to test. It was actually a process that they would put like precious metals through to test, to make sure that all the anything that was corrupt was gone, so that you would have something that was left that was true and pure. It was also a test that they would use to make sure that money wasn't counterfeit. What is it? What is right? What is true? So when he says that you may approve, it's that you might test to know the trueness of something. And he says specifically to know what? To know what is excellent. The word excellent means to differ. It means something that's set apart as better than everything else. So he's saying, I want you to be in a place as a church that you can distinguish and discern and test and know what is greater and better than other things. Specifically in context, he's talking about moral greatness or what matters in eternity. So here's the picture. I want you to be a church family that can say no to things that are okay, so that you can say yes to the things that are the best thing and focus on what is God has called you as a believer to do. We've talked about, again, distractions quite a bit. And we know that there are so many things in our world that vie for our attention, right? There's so many things that strive for our resources and our time and our investment, and those are good things. The question is, are they always the best thing? So we have to kind of reevaluate and say, okay, Lord, what am I committing my life to? What am I spending my time thinking and efforts and investing in? He says, I want you to be a church that knows how to approve what is excellent or is of the greatest value. It's knowing what's best and giving your life to that. So the question that we have to ask ourselves as a church is, okay, Lord, would you continue to help us identify what it is that you've called us to, that we can just be razor focused and then give our lives to that. So I want you to be marked by love. I want you to be growing in knowledge and obedience and holiness and giving your life to what's best until the day of the Lord, until our time on earth is done. I'm not sure if you've ever thought about this before, but have you ever wondered why God has left us here on earth? Think about it for a minute. Why doesn't he just, like, once you get saved, just, like, take you to heaven? Like, wouldn't that be awesome? Like, okay, so I'm saved, I've placed my faith in Jesus, and then, boom, I'm with him forever in eternity. Like, he could have done that, right? Because wouldn't it be like, I feel like I could sing to the Lord, like, a lot better in heaven than I can here, right? I can glorify God a lot better in heaven than I could do here on earth. I could honor, everything that I'm trying to do for the Lord, I could do so much better if I was, like, you know, glorified body, all that in heaven. So then I have to understand then that God has not done that. Instead, he's left us here for a reason, for a purpose, that God has a purpose for us in the world right now. And that's what we just call the mission of God. So we are partnering together in the time that we have left for the mission of God. You guys remember when we first started Hope Valley, we gathered together in living rooms and we did a study called the Gospel Center Church. We just went through, just in our little home groups, as we started praying, okay, what is it, Lord, that you're calling us to, and who are we called to be? And so we, you know, it was one of the statements that they made though in that book was that the central purpose for the church is the glory of God. But then he said the central purpose for the church in this world is the mission of God, that we're called to be here on mission. So then, at Hope Valley, our mission is God's mission. And what does that look like? Well, we do want to see people changed by the gospel. We want to see people, all of us, trained continually in the gospel. That means that we're continually growing day by day to be like Jesus. And we want to know, like, for example, how do I become a man or woman of God? How do I share the gospel with other people? How do I love my wife or love my husband as God has called me to love them? How can I grow more and more and be trained up continually in the Word and in the gospel? One thing that we are hoping to start and kind of roll out a little bit more more specifically this year is some smaller groups. Like, we could call them D groups or discipleship groups. It's, in fact, Mark and Aaron have kind of led the charge here, kind of setting the stage and setting the example of what, like, a group of two or three would look like, where you have a group of two or three men that gather together. Maybe it's weekly, bi-weekly, maybe even once a month for prayer, for accountability, for Bible study, for discipleship. You have a group of ladies that does the same thing, and so we're really hoping this year is a year where we just begin to multiply those groups, you know. And so if you have a desire for that, say, yeah, actually, I would like to be in one of those. I would like to help lead one of those. Would you let us know? Because or I could just call you out and ask you to start one. But I'd rather just the other way around. Just come talk to me about it, and we'll help these groups get off the ground and get started. And then ultimately, we want to be a church that is sent out with the gospel. Sent out with the gospel. We are on mission everywhere that we go. One of the ways that we are sent out with the gospel is church planting. We talk about it often, but I want to get a little bit more specific. So we said from the beginning that we want to be a church that plants churches. We want to continually grow, continually multiply. You might be interested to know that right now in the U.S., there's about 4,000 churches that are planted every year, 4,000 churches, which is awesome until you learn that 3,700 churches close their doors every year, like every single year in America. So we've got to continually plant new churches and continue expanding the gospel around our area, the valley, and globally. Now, we actually partner as a church. We partner with the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board to plant churches in the U.S., to plant churches overseas, and that's awesome, and we're going to continue to do that. But more than that, we want to plant churches directly out of our church family right here, because there's people right now in this room that God's leading you, God's calling you to be a part of church planting. Maybe it's right here in the valley, or maybe it's elsewhere, but he's calling you to that. Maybe you don't know it yet, but he is. He's going to be leading you to be a part of that. We would love in the next 2 years to plant a church right here out of Hope Valley. Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's Shawlsville, or maybe it's, you know, Reiner or Floyd or Radford or some surrounding area. But I believe God's calling us to that. Maybe it's all of them. Maybe it's eventually we have this huge network of Hope Valley churches in the area that partner together for the sake of the gospel. Like, that would be incredible, right? That would be amazing. And I believe the Lord's calling us to that. So we need to start fasting and praying now. Okay, Lord, like, what does that look like? Are you calling me to be a part of that? What does that look like right here? Like, in this church building that we have, like, we're limited. Eventually, we're going to hit a point to where we can't shove any more people in. And so with that comes new opportunities to start new groups. We want to start New Hope community groups this year. And so many of you have already said, hey, I'm answering that call. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to start. And we're going to be doing that this year as we can grow and expand that way. So we're sent out with the gospel, sometimes through church planting. But then there's other ways that we do that as well. And so what we like to unroll at the beginning of every year is some mission opportunities. So like this morning, it's super practical. Like, what are some mission opportunities? What are some ways that I can jump in and get involved this year through Hope Valley Church? Local mission. There's some local mission opportunities. There is the, again, I'm going to roll through some of these a little bit faster, but there's the Agape Center, which is a food pantry ministry here in Christiansburg that we partner with. They need mentors to meet with people. They need helpers and assistants, and there's always opportunities to work at the Agape Center literally every week. It meets every single week, and so there's an opportunity throughout the week. Our Hope Community Outreach events, all of our Hope Communities are structured so that we want to focus outwardly and have opportunities to do, whether it's a struggling family or some need that you hear about, you bring it to your Hope Community group so that you guys can work together to meet a need. The Fall Festival Outreach that we did last year was so fun and so insanely attended. So we're going to be doing that again this year as we reach out to people and our neighbors. The Fithian Haunted Trail Outreach, partnering with the Fithian family as they have that ministry down the road. Different community events throughout the year that we try to jump in and partner with. There's a new ministry that we're trying to help get started this year, and that's called Fathers in the Field. It's a ministry to fatherless boys and single moms, where you have a man who agrees to partner together with that mother to disciple her son who doesn't have a dad. It's a pretty incredible ministry. We're going to be bringing some more details about that, but maybe that rings in your heart, something that you'd be interested in helping out with. Well, we also have global mission opportunities. We have ministry, actually, we're leaving for Brazil, several of us, next 3.5 weeks from now. We'll be going back to Brazil. We have Uganda coming up in June, a mission to Uganda. We have Alaska in July, maybe even 2 trips to Alaska, depending on how big our team is this year. We're going to be going back to Brazil in August. Hopefully taking some youth with us for that trip as well, to be getting in the schools. We're hopefully going back to the Dominican Republic in the fall. Aaron's going to Alaska this coming week. We have opportunities. You can't get on that one, but you have other ones that you can jump into as the year goes along. So again, the prayer needs to be, okay, Lord, you've given me gifts. I don't know how you want to use me there, but I'm just saying yes. I'm putting my yes on the table, saying just use me, whatever that looks like. What's so cool is that you don't have to worry about the money. The Lord will provide. The Hope Valley helps with all of those trips financially. So all you got to do is say yes. You may be at a point in your life where you say, you know what, I probably can't travel. I'm not able to do that. You could be a part of one of these local groups, or you could be a part of sending someone as well. So the point is that we're a church that's going to go. Like, we're going to go. Not so that we can, like, you know, take a cool selfie with a little kid in Africa. Like, that's not why we're going to do this. It's not so that we can, you know, tell all our friends about this cool trip, or so I can see a new culture, a new country. Like, all those are fine. The selfie for Facebook's not really good, but everything else is okay. But the true focus, the true purpose, is ultimately for the glory of God and for the advancement of the gospel throughout the world, which is our calling and why we exist as a church. And that's what we are going to be about. It's ultimately for His glory. The ultimate motivation for missions should be that God be worshipped by every tongue and every tribe and every nation on this planet. And God's called us to do that. And He has decided to use us to carry His name to those around us. I want to show you a quick, what's a video that we put together after our trip to Uganda.
Good morning, Hope Valley Church.
It's not that one. That's all right. But there's another video that, did we get that one ready, Nathan? Okay. Just a second. So let me talk about it for a second. So we went to Uganda back in 2019. Several of you were on that trip. But the focus in my heart for that trip was, okay, Lord, You are worthy. You are worthy of all worship and honor and glory and praise. And so You are worthy of all nations to worship You. And so I remember for that trip, I just began to resonate through me. And so when we got back, we put together some videos and pictures to this specific song. And just take a few minutes. This is one trip that we've taken, but we've got so many more that God has in store for us.
Conquered the grave. He is David's ruler in the land.
So what is it that the Lord's calling you to this year? Maybe it's something specifically in your own life, personally in your own life, that He's calling you to or calling you away from. Maybe there's some distractions in your life that it's time for us to lay aside this year so we can focus on what God has truly called us to do, who He's called us to be. Maybe it's that there's somebody that God's placed on your heart, a neighbor, a coworker, friend that you know, He's been urging you that you need to share your story and the gospel of Jesus with. Maybe it's making that commitment this morning that, hey, yeah, I may not be going to Africa this summer, but God's called me to go to the next cubicle, and I'm gonna take that step. Maybe it is to take one of these trips, but whatever it is, this morning our desire is to lay it all out and say, okay, Lord, whatever it is, I'm in. Whatever it is You're calling me to, I'm in. For Your glory, for the sake of the gospel around the world, I'm in. I'm here. For us as a church family, for those of you who are members of Hope Valley, who are partners together with us, this is also the time of the year that we renew that commitment together, where we say, hey, this is where we're headed this year. I'm in. Let's roll. Let's keep going. And in fact, just a little while, you're going to get an email that has the opportunity to sign and say, hey, yeah, I'm continuing to partner with Hope Valley Church for this next year. Some of you literally have just joined in the last, several months or so, but it's also an opportunity for you to say, yep, I'm here. I'm ready to roll, ready to partner with Hope Valley for this next year. One thing I want just to mention as we do this, as we kind of close our time together, is the covenant commitments that we make as a church. So then, if you're in the room and you're saying, "Hey, yes, I'm in," this is the things that we're committing to together as a church family. By God's grace and in His strength, we are desiring to commit together to one, to love and follow Jesus. That's a part of our church covenant, to love and follow Jesus by following after Him, pursuing Him, studying the Word. And if that was an area of struggle for you this year, then let's talk about that. Let's let this serve as like a spiritual checkup. So you know what? Hey, Pastor Jared, this has been a little bit of a struggle. I could really use some help. Somebody to come alongside of me and help me in this way. And we'd love to help you in that. It's by being submissive to the Holy Spirit and following His leading wherever He leads us to go. We commit to be actively engaged in the mission of God, whether that's going on missions around the world or right in your home, in your living room, or right next door. But it's living out the gospel with my life, sharing the gospel with my words, supporting the missions, the mission of God financially. Number three, it's to be actively involved in Hope Community. Our Hope Community groups are a huge part of what we do as a church. We also understand there's seasons of life where you may not be able to be as involved as you would like to be, and we get that. There's seasons of life where jobs and things come in the way, and so you have to maybe remove yourself for a while. But our desire is that every single one of us will be connected into a Hope Community group by going and being a part and serving and helping out. Number four, by serving in the ministry of the church, God's called all of us and gifted all of us and called us to use those gifts for His glory by giving of our time and our talent and our treasure and our resources to the Lord. By serving in so many different ways within the church and outside of the church. And then ultimately, the last one is to protect and guard the unity of the church that God has given us here by encouraging one another, by being careful about the words that we say and the things that we post, by submitting to the leadership that God has given us here at Hope Valley, and by praying faithfully for those that serve and lead in so many different capacities. All of that is a part of what it means to commit and covenant together at Hope Valley. And our prayer and desire is that you will join this mission that we're on together. We love each and every one of you. And I love being able to kind of press pause on our year. Say, okay, this is it. Are we in? Are we here together? Are you ready to roll with us? Let's keep going for the glory of God and the gospel, sake of the gospel in our valley and in our world. Worship team, you guys come on up. We're going to have a time here to just reflect on some of these things It's a time of invitation. Invitation for you to seek the Lord. And maybe you're here this morning, you'd say, Jared, I've really struggled in some way this year. I really could use prayer as we start this new year. I'd love to pray with you. Pastor Kevin's here as well. We would love to pray with you. If you would like somebody else to pray with you. Aaron's right here, and Ms. Penny, she's over here. Other leaders are around. If they want somebody just to pray with you and for you. Maybe it's just a time for you to come down here at the altar and just surrender to the Lord. Say, Lord, this is your year. Whatever it is that you want me to do, like, it may be uneasy, it may be uncomfortable, it may be scary, but I'm just saying yes, and I'm in. Maybe you want to make that just kind of drive that home by coming and just praying right here. Whatever it is, take these next few moments. If you have a question about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, please come talk to us. If you're joining us online, you can do the same thing. You can leave us a message there, or you can give us a phone call. We love you and are excited about what God's going to do this year. So let's take this moment. You can stand to your feet. You could kneel and pray, whatever you'd like to do, but let's have this next few moments together.